93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamolo's offside. The flag stayed down. Jamolo, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It was all going so well for the Blues on Saturday afternoon.
Steps up, Evans scores! Drills it into the back of the net, and Portsmouth have broken the deadlock. It's Pompey 1, Oxford 0.
Until for the third weekend in a row, Pompey surrendered the points in second half stoppage time.
Cross to the far post, it's a great ball! Taylor has scored! Matty Taylor has equalised for Oxford in the last minute.
Matty Taylor's 90th minute header rescuing an important point on the road for Oxford. So another week, another frustrating result. But the performance, it has to be said, massively improved. What did you make of the match as a whole? Has it left you feeling confident going into future games? Were the Blues unlucky, or should subs have been made earlier? Could the 4-4-2 formation make a return for home matches? All the usual ways to get involved this evening, 81400 on the text, email pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at expressfm. As ever, we look forward to hearing from you back home. It's Groundhog Day here in Portsmouth as we discuss another game with points dropped right at the death. Right here on 93.7 FM, DAB Digital Radio and online at expressfm.com. A very warm welcome to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and a warm welcome to another edition of the Football Hour, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Find out more information on timetables, routes, fares and much more on their website stagecoach.co.uk. Let's get straight into the thick of it then, and we begin tonight's programme by going back to 3pm on Saturday afternoon as the Blues went in search of all 3 points against the strong Oxford United side following the previous week's frustrating draw away to Bristol Rovers. On the commentary for this weekend's game at Fratton Park, Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
And we are just about ready. Finally, get underway. Pompey 16th at the start of play, 8 points adrift of the playoffs. As a player, you must be thinking about the conditions when it's like this, because it is going to impact the game. McCrory back on his left foot, chance to cross, and sends Williams in the area. Ryan Williams' shot is wide. Portsmouth 0, Oxford 0. Evans, this is a nice move from Pompey, 30 yards out. Evans to Curtis, into the area. Curtis to hit the ball if he can. Instead, Evans on the overlap. Evans into the area. Oh, it's behind Williams. Close will pick it up. Loads of men there, chipped into the box. Curtis can't get a header away. Williams gets on the loose ball. Back to goal. Evans, will he get a shot away? Right footed deflects and wide, and a corner kick, but without doubt Pompey's best moment of the match. Naylor to the right hand side, Evans inside his own half, chips forward looking towards Marcus trying to flip the ball on, and Williams takes it on his slide, and if he can find Curtis he could be in. Ronan Curtis, poor first touch, second touch off the bar, so close to an opener. Jackett can't believe his side haven't made more of that.
Does seem a lot better today, but you've got to score goals. There's chances Pompey are creating now.
McCrory flies in on Ruffles, and he's going to get a yellow card for a 50-50 that they both just flew in, and you knew they were both going to be flying into. It was wholehearted. It's been an entertaining first 45 minutes. We don't have a goal as yet to show for either side, though. Williams controls that really well. Couldn't quite get it out of his feet when he wanted to, but Pompey is still going, and Ben Close in the area is tripped, and it's a penalty kick. Lovely Pompey move. Close wins a penalty and a great chance for Portsmouth to take the lead. Gareth Evans with that responsibility steps up. Evans scores! Drills it into the back of the net. More power than accuracy. And Portsmouth have broken the deadlock. It's Pompey 1, Oxford 0. Evans waiting. Now he will deliver off a two-step run towards the near post. Header is wide of the target. It was Raggett and Burgess in there. And Pompey can't convert. Pompey one up as we head into the final quarter of the match. Ford, the substitute, deep to the far post. Raggett gets his head to the ball, but it goes backwards. It's still there in the six-yard box. Loose. Pompey can't get it away. Is the shot going to come in? It is, but it's blocked. Still there. Taylor under it. Evans tries to swing it away. Still, Pompey haven't got it away yet. And now Burgess clears away. What a frenetic moment. Oxford flooding forward once more. Cross towards the far post. And again, Williams is the man doing the defending, but all he can do is concede a corner. And Pompey inviting pressure on themselves. Yeah. Henry, cross to the far post. It's a great ball. Taylor has scored. Matty Taylor has equalised for Oxford in the last minute of normal time. Portsmouth have thrown away another lead late on. They cannot believe it. It's Portsmouth 1, Oxford 1. We want Jack It Out being chanted by some supporters. Over halfway, Simon Eastwood clears it. Boos ring out. Frustration inside Fratton Park. Two more points thrown away by Portsmouth.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
A listen back there to Pompey's 1-1 draw at home to Oxford at the weekend. After the game, Andy Moon went pitch side to get the thoughts of Blues boss Kenny Jackett.
Kenny, it must feel like Groundhog Day for you. Another late goal costing your side. How tough is that to take, and what's gone wrong there today?
Yeah, we're obviously very frustrated with that. You know, James Henry's sort of dug a cross out from almost on the byline. It's a loopy cross. Matt Taylor's headed it from, you know, beyond the far post, and it looked such a, you know, such a simple goal, such a simple execution, and very frustrating one in a day where. If I'm looking at the overall performance and the standards were pretty high, as they were against Bristol Rovers. But, you know, we've got 2 points out of six on two pretty good performances, and performances where we've worked very, very hard to get ourselves into pole position, if you like. You know, it's been a feature so far this season where, you know, we're in good positions and let it slip, and that's very, very frustrating. Either we should have been able to see it out, which is the most important thing, or perhaps put some more chances away that would have put us even more into pole position, and I suppose then the late goal would be a consolation. But yeah, very frustrating day, and you know, it's certainly not a point gained on the performance. It's two lost.
Ahead of the goal, when you had the ball down the left hand side, should you have gone to the corner flag? I know it's easy with hindsight, but were poor decisions made in that area of the pitch?
Yeah, maybe. And I mean, then even looking at the goal, I mean, I don't sort of like necessarily gamesmanship, but we had opportunities to bring people down as well. But you know, it's. We had lots of people in situations there that weren't on a booking, but similarly, you know, we've not got tight enough. James Henry's dug one out from the byline, really, and it's a loopy old cross that's headed in from beyond the far post, and it is a frustrating goal for us because we worked so hard to get ourselves into a good position, and you know, should have seen it out, really. Yeah.
You brought James Bolton on for the last 10 minutes. What was the thinking behind that substitution, and the thinking behind not making any others?
Yeah, definitely for Ross. You know, he's anyway. Ross has played well and been pleased with him. All we have to be careful of in terms of his bookings, as you know, to make sure that you know, we keep 11 on the pitch. You know, that's quite a big thing. And then obviously, you know, Ellis come on then for Gareth, and John dropped into the 10 positions. For myself, anyway, in terms of, you know, adding to those two subs or perhaps doing them earlier. You know, we've had a free week, and I did think that the side was full of energy, and we've had a free week, and Oxford have played, you know, on Tuesday night as well, and so I didn't think energy wise there was anything necessarily needed. The wide players were, you know, we're running right till the end, Ronan and Ryan Williams, and we're doing jobs both defensively, and we're a threat going forward, I thought.
What do you say to your players after, you know, when this happens three Saturdays in a row now?
Yeah, accurate assessment, really. I do think the standards are getting higher, which is a good thing, but ultimately, though, the bottom line is that, you know, we wanted 3 points out of that and worked hard to get ourselves into a good position to do it, and didn't see it out, and that's a frustration, definitely. Look at the goal, you you see where, you know, what areas we could have made different decisions, as you say, perhaps, you know, corner flag situations, and also then, you know, on the break for them, but similarly, it still, you know, it still wasn't. We've got back, and we had enough people back. Really, you know, it wasn't like they were outnumbering us. You know, we were in good positions tactically, and as I said, it's a looping cross from the far post and a header from, you know, let's say, you know, beyond really that's gone back across the goal and tucked into the net, and it's a, you know, frustrating situation, and as you say, you know, a continued sequence of those are happening now.
Just finally, what's the squad like? Do they need lifting after, because you have to go again on Tuesday? It must take its toll on confidence. Do you need to lift? What do you need to say to a squad when this is happening?
Yeah, I think you have to be durable, definitely. I mean, there's a lot we can take out of both Bristol Rovers and today, because, you know, if we can produce that type of quality tempo, you know, basically shots and chances, you know, where we've put ourselves in both positions, and, you know, Oxford are a good side at the moment, and, you know, we've gone toe to toe with them, if you like, and although it's a draw game, we've got ourselves into, you know, a very good position, you know, created a lot of chances, so there's a lot of our play that is good, and we have to hold on to that. But 100% we want to be, when we get into good positions, we want to be closing the games, and you know, that's in terms of the information where we are.
There we have just heard the thoughts of Kenny Jackett following Saturday's game at Fratton Park. But now it's time to hear the thoughts of you, the Pompey fans. Is the lack of confidence still affecting the Blues heading into the final minutes of games this season? Performances have definitely improved as of late, but what needs to change to ensure we are outscoring the opposing teams? And do you think the 4-4-2 formation should make a return for home games? Do we really need to sit back and defend our lead at Fratton Park? To get involved, text the word EXPRESS followed by your name and message to 81400, email Pompey at expressfm.com, or send us a tweet at expressfm. We'll try and get through as many of your text, tweets and emails as we can between now and 7. Okay, joining me in the studio, however, to discuss their thoughts on the latest events at PO4, I have, first of all, online feature writer for Pompey News Now, Sam Stone, who returns to the Football Hour. Sam, welcome back.
Ian, Jake, thank you for having me on again.
And alongside him this evening, lifelong Blues fan and sports journalism student, Ryan Honey. Ryan, great to have you join us for the first time tonight.
Thank you very much, Jake. Nice to be here.
A pleasure. Okay, let's go back to Saturday's game then. I can't wait for this one. Sam, we'll come to you first. Oxford snatching the draw in the dying embers of the game. They're now unbeaten in 12. So, as a whole, dare I say it, not a bad point on paper.
Before the game, yeah, maybe, because, you know, they've come off some really good results, yeah. Good run in the League Cup, but given their injuries they had during the game, a lot of players playing out of position, and the way that we played for 75 minutes, it's a pretty sickening result, actually, to come away with a 1-1 draw.
Yeah.
For the most part, we actually played some good fluent football, especially going forward. It's probably the best stuff I've seen us play this season. It's just that kind of these late goals are really starting to cost us badly now, and it's a area that last year we were so effective at closing out games with Nathan Thompson, Clark. It's what Jackett's teams were kind of built on, and we need to get back to this game management. Yeah. It's a big side of the game that we're kind of lacking at the moment, and it's really, really costing us.
I want to touch on something Sam just mentioned there, Ryan. It was a much better performance on Saturday, and arguably, as Sam has just said, one of the best performances of the season. We did play some really nice fluent football along the floor. Counter-attacking was on point as well. So you feel rather aggrieved that we've come away from there not having all 3 points?
No, absolutely. It felt like a loss coming away from Fratton Park on Saturday. And I mean, you know, the way we played, we outplayed Oxford for the majority of the game. And, you know, they dug deep, Oxford. We created many, many chances, and it just came down to tucking them away.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for us, we weren't able to do that, and we got punished.
Pompey, 16 shots, 6 on target. Oxford, 8 shots, 1 on target. The one that mattered right at the death there to secure them the point. It is just a case now of Sam, as you mentioned, not closing teams down, but not shutting the game out, not securing the wins, getting the 2 or 3 or 4 goal advantage and really putting them to sleep, because that's what we seem to need to do now.
Well, yeah, there's a few factors that are kind of leading up to that. There's a lot of fans after the game were kind of questioning maybe we should have made some substitutions, and that might have made a difference. Also, their goal that it shouldn't have, they shouldn't have even got to the corner. It should have been a professional foul taken on the halfway line. That's what we've said about the game management. Just take the foul, take the yellow card. They don't even get in that position and score the goal. So it's that lack of game management this season that is costing us. But I'll just go back to the substitutions. Like a lot of fans saying about the substitutions, I wasn't too against the substitution that Jacket made, bringing Bolton on. I can understand it. McCrory on a yellow. Bolton probably a little bit better defensively. But also, I can question Jacket when he's not making these kind of proactive subs. You know, we could all see that game was going to go like that. We could all see that Oxford were going to kind of come onto us. We were going to sit back. You make those subs earlier, bring Cannon on, bring Harrison on, some fresh legs. We get back on the front foot. We can go and score that second and third goal and really kill the game off.
You kind of can't help but feel, as Sam's mentioned there, the McCrory sub for Bolton, correct. I think, you know, yellow card, maybe he thought he was tiring out a bit, thinking of Tuesday's game as well. And you expect a natural right back to be able to see the game out as well. So totally agree with that one. But, you know, as Sam's alluded to, do we need to make these subs earlier on in the game, like Harrison coming on, like Harness, maybe even Andy Cannon as well, to get some fresh legs on and boost the midfield and really, if you're going to see out of the game, see it out in style?
Well, I think so. I mean, Marquis looked tired from 75 minutes to 80 minutes on. You know, close.
It was like an uphill battle.
Yeah, it was. For me, close can't play 90 minutes. I mean, he runs his socks off, you know, for the majority of the game. And, you know, Naylor does that exceptionally well. So Cannon, for me, has to come on. He's a bundle of energy. Close doesn't offer that the whole game. Yeah. He does at the start. But, you know, as the game goes on, it's obvious for us to see that people are tiring. Mm. And, you know, Cannon, Harrison, you know, they'd bring that to the game.
Had we not learnt from our mistakes from last weekend, Sam, I don't want to dwell on it too much because it was a fantastic performance from Pompey on Saturday and it was perhaps just a tad unfortunate that we've drawn the game. But last weekend against Bristol Rovers, 2-0 up, the first sub was made after they equalised. Ellis Harrison coming on in the 91st minute when it was 2-2. So
that's a reactive sub. It's you know, it's happened too late. And Ellis Harrison coming on the 91st minute when we've just conceded an equaliser, you know, it's not what we should be doing. We should be making these subs earlier, and it is starting to cost us. I worked out before, I was telling you guys before the show, that's 8 points dropped now in kind of the dying embers towards at the end of games. You know, 8 points on our total, we're just inside the playoffs with two games in hand.
Yeah, we worked out, wouldn't we? We would be sixth.
We'd be sixth with two games in hand. Win those two, we'd probably be in the automatic. Yeah. So it's really starting to cost us, and it is surprising because last year we were so good at it. We can remember at the start of the season we went on that run, and then we lost that game, and we went on another run. We just saw games out. We didn't. At no point did we kind of feel like we sit back, but we expected it. We were never going to be like worried about conceding a goal because we had Nathan Thompson, Matt Clark, these professional players. You know, I hate to say it, but I do miss Nathan Thompson in there, kind of just winning these free kicks for absolutely nothing, wasting a load of time. And we need to get back to doing that.
That kind of stat does kind of suggest to you, Ryan, that not all is lost. We do have somewhat 6-7 months of the season left. There's a long, long way to go. And we are within touching distance, perhaps, of the playoffs and the automatics as well. You know, we do need to stop conceding late. We do have games in hand and we can rectify this. But it's just not really at the moment promising signs, is it?
No, absolutely not. It's not the place where we want to be, you know.
Playing catch up,
exactly that. At the start of the season, promotion candidates on paper. You know, this isn't where we want to be. And like you say, this can be quickly turned around.
Yeah.
A couple of wins turns into a good run of form. We've only lost one, I believe, in the last 7 or 8.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, form is everything in this league. You know, you could go on a run and end up in the playoffs. You could be a mediocre side and end up in the playoffs in this league. It's all about form. And if we get to that, I have no doubts that we could go up, yeah.
Alan Swift on the email says, "Hi again. Since the last new year, the attack and defence have changed, with the central midfield being the same. Well, something has to change, leaving just the central midfield, the tactics and the manager. It's really not that hard to work out. The problem with saying it's still a long way to go is that it's already been a long way. It's with nothing changed," says Alan in Southsea. Go on, Sam.
It's a tough one with the manager situation. I don't really know where I stand, and I probably should work it out at some point. But I will give Jacket some credit. In the last few games, I've definitely seen, you know, we've gone about the late goals. That's a kind of single issue we're talking about. I have definitely seen an improvement in the performances, especially
100%.
Especially on Saturday. I thought we knocked the ball around really well. There was not that many long balls going up, and if they were, they were directed well and at players' feet, and they could play with them. I saw some good fluent football being played on Saturday, and I think Jackett needs credit for that.
Yeah.
He does need credit for that, but, you know, obviously with requesting, there's stuff to question with him, you know, the substitution and stuff like that, but he definitely does need credit, and there I can see signs of this team improving.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if anyone's seen the kind of XG stats,
expected goals. Yeah.
You know what they're like, but Pompey are second in the league for expected goals, and on Saturday completely dominated Oxford statistically. So there are signs, there are kind of factual evidence to back that up. So maybe
just
it's
cracks
not,
need to just,
yeah,
just be fine.
Minute things. Yeah. I genuinely think if we could go on a run, this team could start to click.
And just to point out there as well, you know, we're not trying to dwell on it too much. We are trying to take out as many positives as we can as well. Mm. That's not the only decent performance we've had all season. Many people saying it's our best performance, which I don't argue with. I kind of agree with that. But Bristol Rovers last weekend, up until the 78th minute, we played some really nice football on the floor, counter-attacking brilliantly. Lincoln at home when we won 1-0 wasn't the best performance, but counter-attacking was really on point, defensively solid. Wimbledon away, we should have scored. We had over 20
half at least,
over what, 25 shots in total it was.
Yeah.
Sometimes do you have to look at your players and suggest that maybe they have to pick up some slack as well.
Mm. Well, so, I would say for the Oxford goal on Saturday, I don't think I don't think Jackett to do anything about that. I think that's on the players for me. It's game management. Someone should have taken one for the team there. That's game management, and I don't know if Jackett can coach that necessarily.
Switching off a little bit.
It's just a professionalism.
Yeah. Okay, don't forget you can get involved with the conversation back home too. You have over half an hour to do so. It's 81400 on the text, starting your messages with word express. Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails, or at expressfm on Twitter. Don't be shy. Get in touch with us between now and 7. Whatever your opinion, we want to make the show as balanced as possible, and send us your score predictions for tomorrow evening's home match against Southend United as well. We'll be back in just a few moments here on Express FM. We're just going to go for a short break, after which we'll be ramping up for debate and looking further afield to the Blues' next fixture, so don't go anywhere.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Monday Football Hour here on the only radio station that is passionately Pompey, Express FM, brought to you by Stagecoach across the South. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap and reliable fares all across Portsmouth and beyond too. Find out more information over at stagecoach.co.uk. It's time now to hear some of the thoughts of you back home, the Pompey fans. Dave and Calplane on the email says, I don't see a draw with Oxford at Fratton Park being a good result in any season, but even more so this season with the squad that we have. Oxford aren't all that, regardless of their league position, and we should always be expecting to beat them at home. 14 points down now for the equivalent fixtures last season. Dave and Calplane, that's some stat, isn't it, gents? 14 points down from the equivalent fixtures last season in regards to the teams that we've played. Thank you to Dave and Calplane for getting involved. Graham Wilkins on the emails. Yet again, it's the same old story. Get the lead and not going on from there. A lot of improvements, yes, but you could see it happening as we just got deeper and deeper and Oxford grew in confidence. Marquis and either Close or Evans needed subbing for fresh legs. And then the impetus is with the Blues. The fact that none of the subs were even warming up in the second half speaks volumes. As a game, we deserve the win, but the Blues need to score more goals when on top, and this wasn't the case. Surely we can win against Southend Tuesday night, but maybe go 4-0 up to give us a bit of leeway. Can't help but really disagree with that. Can you, Ryan, do we need to go 4-0 up to remain a little bit confident that we're going to win the game?
I think 4-0 is a bit of an overstatement. Yes, a two-goal cushion would help, but we've seen previously with Coventry, we've been two goals up. Southend last season, we were three goals up. You know, it's just one of those things, and I'm not going to be.
Football.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that, as we've heard so many times over the last few weeks, months. You know.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things, and you need to start closing those games out. If we're deciding to sit back 1-0 up, you know, you've got to see it out.
Yeah. Paul on Twitter says, I thought Pompey played well in the second half, but should have put the game to Oxford out of Oxford's reach. We need to be more ruthless in front of goal and concentrate better at the back for 90 minutes. Sam, more ruthless in front of goal, as we mentioned earlier, 18 shots, 6 on target, only 1 scored, and that was a penalty. Been saying it for a few weeks now. What needs to change to ensure Pompey are scoring more goals and shutting out these teams?
I mean, I
because we've got a goal scorer.
I could definitely agree with that one. I've written it down here. There's a there needs to be more of a clinical edge going forward, especially yesterday. I mean, we created a lot of chances yesterday. Just needed that kind of finishing touch, which is good. It's positive because we are creating chances like we weren't at the start of the season.
Yeah.
AFC Wimbledon was another one. First half, we created no end of chances. It's almost like we're lacking a bit of composure when we're getting in that last kind of pass or last shot. You know, Marquis on Saturday went through in the first half and just rushed his shot a little bit. It's that kind of composure. I don't know if it's because we haven't been at the start of the season creating that many chances. We're suddenly creating it and we're kind of panicking a little bit. But they need to start being a little bit more clinical, because
yeah,
the second, third goal does kill a game off, and you're not having to rely so much on your defence. You can dominate a game a little bit more. It's just, I do feel when it comes, when one of them starts firing, that could be a catalyst for a few others to get going, because, you know, Williams looked bright on Saturday. If he can get maybe an assist or a goal, same with Curtis, you know, he was unlucky, he hit the bar. Yeah. So I think one kind of getting going could be a catalyst for the others.
Jill in North End on the text says, booing is terrible as the team played much better on Saturday. And Mark also agreeing with that. Why would anyone boo that performance on Saturday? Pompey played with energy and passion. The team played very well in all departments. I wish supporters would get behind the team instead of slagging the manager, Ross, says Mark on the text. And more fair points raised there, Ryan. I'm not going to comment on booing. I've been hassled about that on Twitter before. But it was a much improved performance, and it's really promising signs going forward now. It's trying to find that balance now between, was it unfortunate? You know, one time you throw away a lead in injury time, it's, you know, unfortunate. Two times a coincidence. Three times, is there something deeper wrong, or is it just even further of a coincidence?
Well, I mean, I think the boos were harsh, personally.
Everyone's allowed an opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I did think the boos were harsh. You know, we played some good stuff.
Yeah.
We did. We created loads and loads of chances. We should have killed the game off, ultimately. And that's what's cost us, you know. There's no two ways about that. We should have killed the game off. But it all comes down to the fans getting with the players, not against them, you know. I mean, with the fans, the players will perform better. Yeah. It's a fact.
Yeah.
You know, against them, they'll lose confidence. Mm-hmm. And they won't want the ball.
No. Two players who have been playing really well recently, in my opinion, Sam, Ronan Curtis and Ryan Williams, on either side of the wings for Pompey. In particular, Ronan Curtis, we mentioned on Friday, he's come back from his break, you know, two or three games on the bench, coming on as a sub and really looking a brighter and really refreshed player now for Pompey. And that could be really important going into these upcoming games when we need someone to go forward, strive forward with the passion, with the energy, putting in those hard-hitting tackles and really try and kick-start the season. And none better than Ronan Curtis.
Oh, I've always been a big advocate for Ronan Curtis. I love his kind of fight, his energy. You remember him at the start of last season, he was completely unplayable. Mm-hmm. Against any team we played, he just... Their full-back, the right-back, was just having a nightmare every single game against him. I feel that he was complete... The way the fans treated him at the start of the season has been... In my opinion, it's been disrespectful for the effort he puts in every single game. Yeah, his quality might not have been there, but the last few games you can see a kind of old Ronan Curtis coming back. Definitely, he's a lot more on the ball. He's making the right decisions a little bit more.
He's crossing in with his left foot as well.
Yeah,
he's not cutting.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah. You know, he's got that cut in and shot, which is kind of a trademark for him. But he's kind of taking it on that left foot as well. He hit the bar of his left foot on Saturday.
Yep.
So if he can kind of rediscover that form, and Jackett is a massive fan of him, because at any opportunity that he is kind of got a little bit of form and fit, he is starting on that left hand side. And you mentioned Williams as well, he's kind of a bundle of energy a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe needs to start adding an assist or a goal, because he's kind of, you know, he's a lot of energy, but just maybe an assist or a goal wouldn't go.
Seen a lot on social media about perhaps his end product as well.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe that does need to be worked on, but as Sam's just mentioned there, Ryan Williams, a player with energy, with a bit of pace as well, really trying to create opportunities for Pompey going forward. Not all the time, you know, working out too well, but a player who will be a valuable asset for Pompey this season.
Oh, absolutely. I think he offers something different to every other winger we've got at the club, you know. He works tirelessly. I mean, he'll actually drive at people and try and get the cross in. He'll take people on.
Yeah.
And that's what Pompey fans want to see. They want to see their winger take on the fullback. And he offers that. His positivity is quite contagious throughout the team because it drives Naylor forward. It drives either the right back or the other centre midfielder forward, you know. Yeah. And that's exactly what we want to see.
Another player who's come into the frame recently, Sam Sean Raggett, putting himself out there, winning seemingly all the headers at the back as well for Pompey now, and someone who puts his heart on the line for the Blues as well, and that's something that we perhaps may have missed at the start of the season.
Yeah, Raggett, it's a tough one because you're right, he kind of puts his body on the line and wins a lot of headers, a bit like Matt Clark did. Technically on the floor, I think it's clear to see he's not quite got the technical ability that, you know, a Clark or a Burgess has got. But it's, you know, he made a good little Cruyff turn on Saturday, which was quite impressive. And I mean, if he can get a bit of confidence, I've heard when he signed for us, you know, Lincoln fans, Norwich fans were all saying how good he was. So, I mean, if he can start kind of these performances, keep them coming, because I thought he looked good against AFC Wimbledon when I watched him there. He looked commanding against some decent strikers. So it's a thing of just building partnerships as well. Him and Burgess played the last few games together.
Yeah.
Just build that partnership up. And I for the most part, thought on Saturday we looked really comfortable defensively. I mean, it was a few moments, but you're always going to get that. But for the most part, relatively comfortable. They didn't really look like they were going to... Well, they had one shot on target, so I think that's kind of backed my point up there. So
a stat from our colleague Andy Moon on Twitter, I've seen him at the weekend... Ryan, 46 League One games last season. The number of times Pompey led going into the final 10 minutes and failed to win, 1. Not bad.
Wow.
In 14 League One games this season, the number of times Pompey have led going into the final 10 minutes and failed to win, 4.
Wow, that speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a worrying stat, but it's, yeah.
I saw another stat today, actually, about something about that, about kind of conceding late goals. You know, Wickham have won a lot of games by 1-0 this season, including against us. That's a, you know, if we do the same, we'd be right up there. And for me, Wickham were one of the worst sides I've seen all season. They're just kind of being resilient game management. They've got the players to do it, play a certain way. You know, even poor teams like, for me, that I watched that game, it's one of the worst games of football I've ever seen. But they I can't believe how bad it was. But they still managed to kind of, they're just grinding out results. Whether they can keep, well, last year that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
Maybe I thought we looked a little bit better than them, but that's what we were doing last year, and it does work. If Pompey can cut, I do feel there's quality in this side, and we saw it yesterday. We saw it going forward. If they can start grinding it out a little bit towards back end of games, this side could go places.
It is frustrating because, as Sam mentioned there, we are playing so much better football now. But another stat I'm going to throw out there from Ryan Stillwell, who likes a stat. He likes to come on Football Hour and he loves his stats. But in the space of 23 days, we've conceded stoppage time goals in 4 different games. We've played top 6 teams 14 times in this calendar year and won 0. We've dropped a total of 14 points from winning positions this season alone. But yeah, it's just something needs to improve, and we can't really entirely put our finger on what. It's just frustrating how this just keeps happening.
And the more it goes on, you know, tomorrow night, if it happens again, it's a mental thing then. It's a kind of psychological thing for the players. It's going to be every single time, you know, we're winning 1 or 2 nil going into the 60th minute plus. It's going to be a mental thing that's going to carry on happening. If we can get over the line with one game, it will breathe a new life of confidence into the players, and that could kind of signal the start of a run where they can be a bit more confident.
Luke Ellis says, as much as I'm frustrated by what's been served up at Pompey this season, if we do win on Tuesday night and move into the top half of the table, I'll definitely be feeling a bit happier. I can't deny the players working hard and giving it everything for us, which is all we ask, and that is all we ask. Ryan, because the players have been performing well, they've been trying to create things, they look like they're actually caring about the club. You do kind of feel sorry for perhaps everyone involved, but just things aren't going right.
No, it's just not going our way. You know, players are working hard, and that's exactly what you want to see. They are working tirelessly, they're running themselves into the ground. You saw Curtis chasing down a blocked free kick in the last 5 minutes against Oxford on Saturday, and that's exactly what you want to see. It lifted the crowd, it lifted the players, and we managed to push out. You want to see that, but you also want to see the balance of keeping the ball and seeing out games. But as long as they're working hard, I'm sure every Pompey fan would be happy with that.
Charlie Newing on Twitter says, seems a few fans were desperate for that equaliser. We played well, should have held it in the corner. I know we want to blame Kenny Jackett for everything, but I can't see how that one's on him. And Chris Lewis says, Evans was completely done after 70 minutes. A fully fit Harness on the bench, a pretty fit Cannon on the bench, and a fully fit Harrison on the bench. But no, it was left too late. And that's something we want to touch upon, Sam, because you can't help but feel that Andy Cannon, Ellis Harrison, Marcus Harness on the bench perhaps could, perhaps should have come on 10-15 minutes earlier to break the game down, stop Oxford from, you know, having that momentum and try and get a second for ourselves.
Well, that's what I mean about the kind of proactive, making some proactive subs instead of reactive. I mean, Kenny Jackett, he's a football man, he knows his stuff, he's a very successful manager. He should have seen that kind of coming. Oxford informed side, 1-0 down. You know, they've just come off a really good result. They're going to try and put pressure on us, and they're going to try and take a kind of forward step in the game. I would have thought Jackett would have seen that coming. And for me, the obvious one would have been Ellis Harrison up front, stretch the game a bit more, run in behind, create some more space in the midfield for our kind of, you know, close, Naylor, Evans to kind of get on the ball. And then that puts the game back onto Oxford. They've got to worry about conceding. If you're worried, you know, we kind of just went to them, you guys, don't worry. You know, for me, attacking is a form of defence. If you're putting pressure on them, they don't have to worry about, you know, that's another thing for them to worry about. They don't have to get, you know, when they're attacking, fullbacks can get forward. They don't need to worry about defending. It's another issue for us to worry about. If we push up, put it more on them, they don't, you know, it negates their attacking threat as well.
Yeah.
I saw someone put on Twitter about Andy Cannon being super glued to the bench. I can't put my finger on it. Every time I've seen him play, I thought he's looked excellent.
I think everyone thinks that.
I don't know. Yeah, it seems to be, you know, every week now. I'd like to, you know, his energy. He's just someone the Portsmouth fans would love to see.
Fresh air.
Yeah, he's what Portsmouth fans love. A bit like Williams, you know, buzzes around. Cannon would do exactly the same, especially with only 15 minutes left. Imagine the energy he'd have. You know, he's only got 15 minutes to run around, but he'd still do it. You know, maybe for a closer on Evans, just to add a bit more energy in there. Every single fan was probably thinking the same thing. Harrison up front, Harrison and Cannon in the middle. It would have just added a different dynamic to the game. And it just didn't happen.
Jeff Harris says, better, but still room for improvement. We still need more energy and dynamics in the centre of midfield. Ian Chiverton says, we all knew that equaliser was coming. Not a bad performance overall. Thought the players gave everything. 65/70 minutes, you could feel the dynamic changing. Desperately needed an attacking sub to make Oxford rethink. Didn't even have them warming up, which is criminal. And last one on the text from George in Denmead. He says, Kenny Jackett is starting to lose the dressing room. I don't think he has the man management skills, fire or passion to get the most of his players. Needed a manager more like Lee Bowyer. Jackett out, says George in Denmead. And I think that's a little bit harsh, because I think Jackett has received a lot of criticism recently, or perhaps over the last kind of year or two, Ryan, in regards to passion and commitment on the touchline. But from what I've seen over the last few games, he seems to actually have taken that on board. He seems to be, do you know what I mean? He seems to be showing a lot more passion.
Absolutely. I've seen him animated on the sideline in the last few games, and that's not been seen, really, in his time at the club. You know, you can see in the interviews that he cares. He cares about the performances. He cares about the results. And you know, he's one of the nicest guys in football. But, you know, the results aren't going for him at the minute.
Yeah.
And I have to agree. I think that's harsh.
Yeah, you feel a bit sorry for him.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm exactly the same. I feel there's a bit of a kind of a myth around Jackett not caring or anything like that, because plenty of times I've been... A lot of the away games, I go and sit in the home end just because of a better view, and I can sit right next to the touchline. And Jackett is actually incredibly vocal, and people don't realise that. He is very vocal, always on the touchline. And, you know...
We've gone from a manager like Paul Cook, who is so vocal and so energetic, to Kenny Jackett, who perhaps isn't as much.
Yeah, but for you know, Paul Cook's off the spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get many... There aren't many managers like Paul Cook, and we all know that. But for that tweet saying about the team, you know, he's lost the dressing room. Yeah. That team on Saturday put 100% in. Mm-hmm. You know, a team that's lost the dressing room, they wouldn't be running back. Williams and Curtis were tracking back every single time. Just, they were tracking back faster than they were going for when they were attacking. So, and they're wingers, they're meant to be attacking. You know, this team is definitely playing for Jackett. And if you can't see that on Saturday, you know, I don't know I must have been watching a different game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sam, Ryan, we're just coming up to 7:15 now, which means we have just 15 minutes of the Pompey chat left for this evening. So we're going to head off for a very quick break here at Express FM, which gives you the perfect chance to get the last of your thoughts, questions and predictions into the studio from back home before we love you and leave you. It's 81400 on the text, starting each message with the word Express. It's Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails or at ExpressFM on Twitter. Is the lack of confidence still affecting the Blues heading into the final minutes of games? Performances have definitely improved, but what needs to change to ensure we are outscoring the opposing teams? And do you think the 4-4-2 formation should make a return for home games? Perhaps even Ellis Harrison could make a few appearances for the Blues. Get those into us as soon as you can and join us again in just 3 minutes as the Monday Football Hour looks ahead to the next Blues fixture and reaches its conclusion right here on 93.7 Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back for the final time this evening to the Monday Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored by Stagecoach Across the South, who offer adult day rider tickets at a discounted price of £4.10 if you buy via the Stagecoach Bus app, which you can find on both the Apple app and Google Play stores. We have just over 10 minutes of the show left this evening, so you don't have long to get your final thoughts, questions and score predictions into the panel. All the usual ways, text Express and your message to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. We'll be getting to some of those very shortly here on the Football Hour, but before we do that, let's hear from Robbie James, who has an in-depth look at this week's opposition, Southend United.
A disappointing and frustrating 1-1 draw with Oxford United on Saturday means that it was the third week in the row where the Blues threw away points in second half injury time, but now it's time for another League One match day, this time the Blues in Tuesday night action, as the games come thick and fast for Portsmouth Football Club.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Fratton Park is once again the venue for Pompey as the division's poorest side make the short trip down from Essex. Here is a closer look at this week's opposition, Southend United.
Manager.
Former Blues defender Sol Campbell is the new manager of Southend United. The 45-year-old spent 3 years at Fratton Park, captaining Pompey to their second FA Cup success back in 2008. Campbell is controversially known as the man who sued the club for nearly £2 million in unpaid imaging rights when it was going through administrations and winding up orders off the pitch. The former England international was appointed at Roots Hall on 22nd of October, having previously guided Macclesfield Town to League Two safety last campaign in his first ever managerial gig.
One to watch.
French midfielder Timothy Dieng is a hot prospect to keep an eye out during this match. The 27-year-old joined the club from Bradford City in 2018 and wears the number 8 shirt. Bizarrely, new gaffer Sol Campbell appears to be playing the natural creative midfielder in the heart of the Shimpers' back line, so you could see him appear in defence for this midweek fixture.
Top scorer.
With 5 league strikes to his name, 22-year-old Stephen Humphreys is the Shrimpers' leading scorer thus far. The forward, who joined Southend permanently on the 19th of January, scored twice on his debut and a 4-0 win over Bradford on the same day. Humphreys wears the number 7 shirt and has not scored since the 4-3 away defeat to Shrewsbury back in September.
Current form.
Southend's form this season has been nothing more than abysmal. The side sit 22nd in the table on a mere 5 points, only 7 ahead of Bolton, who have -2. Had it not been for the Wanderers receiving a -12 point penalty at the start of the campaign, the Shrimpers would be rock bottom by now. They have won 1, drawn 2 and lost 13 of their league games so far, and boast the worst defensive record across the entire Football League, having conceded 44 goals up to this point. Surely the Blues can see out a much needed victory against the league's whipping boys? Find out and listen to all the unmissable action as it unfolds on Pompey Live.
Thank you to Robbie James with a closer look at Southend United ahead of tomorrow's game at PO4, which you can catch right here on Express FM and iFollow Pompey from 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. 44 goals conceded for Southend so far this season. Had Bolton started on 0 points, they'd be above Southend. And that speaks volumes, Ryan. That's how poor they are doing this season.
It's incredible, really. I mean, you look at the Southend side and you don't really see them as relegation candidates, really. So, yeah, 44 goals conceded is monumental.
Yeah. This is a banana skin game, Sam, if you've ever seen one in your life.
It is, but if we play any... Well, I was going to say if we play half as good as we did on Saturday, because you know they have had a few, well, 1-0 at Sunderland. It's not a bad result.
Let's look at their last few results.
I mean, they played Sol Campbell's first two games have been Ipswich and Sunderland, so it's hard to cut. You know, that's two very tough.
Their
games.
Last seven results in the league, starting with the kind of ending with the most recent 1-0 loss against Accrington, 3-1 against Gillingham, loss 4-1 loss against Wimbledon, a 1-0 draw with Tranmere, a 7-1 loss at home to Doncaster, and then a 3-1 loss at home to Ipswich, and a 1-0 loss away to Sunderland.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that's kind of worrying me is that 1-0 loss away to Sunderland, because Stadium of Light is not an easy place to go, and
oh, we know that.
Yeah, to only concede one goal there, and you know, Sunderland have got a new manager potentially turning a little corner. That's not a bad result, and I'm guessing that's the kind of new manager effect of you always get it, even if it's, you know, you put one of us in charge, you're going to get a reaction out of some sort of reaction. So
I'm touching all the pieces of wood in the studio, Ryan, including my own head. Pompey have lost just twice at home in the league throughout 2019. Peterborough in April, 3-2 loss, and Blackpool in January, 1-0 loss. So time really to continue that start and make Fratton Park our fortress, and we should on paper do that again tomorrow.
Absolutely. I mean, Southend on paper, they're there for the taking, and you know, we're due a comprehensive win. You know, we're due a big win. I think the last sort of big win we had at Fratton Park was maybe Bradford when we beat them 5-1 at home last season.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I think it could happen tomorrow night. Yeah,
kind of got to be careful though, Sam.
Yeah.
Because, as we mentioned, it could be a bananas game. We could slip up and miss one, and you know, no game's guaranteed. But they're going to come here, and they're going to try and see out a draw. And we hate it when teams come down to Fratton Park and see out a draw. That's quite often when we come unstuck, when teams don't come down here and play football.
The thing is, you've just mentioned, though, Southend have conceded 44 goals. That's the most in the whole of England,
Wales, and Scotland.
So, I mean, if they're going to come and see out a draw, then maybe allow it, because I don't know if they will be able to. Especially, I'm going off with how we played Saturday. If we play anything like we did Saturday with that free-flowing football, they won't be able to deal with us going forward. The only thing I will say is that you said that Oxford come here, they tried to play. There was gaps to expose going forward. Whether that will be the same with Southend, I'm not too sure. It might have to be a different type of attacking display. Maybe try some more neat and tidy football as opposed to that counter-attacking. It might be more progressive, playing through the thirds, looking for Marcus's feet maybe, and then try and build from there. Might be a little bit of a...
Speaking of which, Bailey Rousell on Facebook has said two strikers tomorrow, Harrison and Marquis, close on the bench with Andy Cannon and Marcus Harness from starting 11. You agree?
No, I don't. No. I've written all this down at 4-4-2 because I have mentioned it a few times when I've come on here about people saying 4-4-2. For me, it's a really fickle football opinion to people go, oh, just throw another striker on. And it's one of my bugbears. It really annoys me. For me, anyway, 4-4-2, it just means a team goes more direct. We play, you know, the terms we've had 4-4-2 this season, I'm picturing Wickham away. With Pittman and Mark was up front, we just go more direct. We just start lumping balls up to them. I thought we played really well on Saturday, 4-2-3-1, playing direct, playing into Evans' feet.
Why change?
I don't see why we need to go 4-4-2. I mean, the only thing I would say that there's an argument for it would be it's more bodies in the box.
Yeah.
But then you're not going to create as many chances going into the box with... Because on Saturday we were playing, we've got that kind of number 10 who can link the play, make runs forward, create space out wide, then you get more balls into the box. 4-4-2 for me, it just ends up being quite one dimensional.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I like the way we played Saturday. I think we should play the same formation.
Let's get to some of your score predictions at home as well. We've got quite a lot of them to get through. On Twitter, actually, a poll I ran earlier in the day, 49% of you are predicting a Pompey win, with 23% going for a Southend United win. Some score predictions then. Richard Anthony says, Pompey 0, Southend 1 from a penalty, with Ross McCrory sent off for being the last man. That's very specific, Rich, but thank you so much for getting involved. Colin Gillespie on Facebook says, 5-1 to Pompey. Ian Sands says 4-1 to Pompey. Break the in-play scoring problem and bang a few in. Marquis might be up for a big night, I suspect. Carl Prado says 1-0 Pompey. Kevin Brown 5-0. George Lawrence 1-1. Gary Larkham, 2-0 up with 10 minutes to go, but we'll draw 2-2 with some late goals, one deep into injury time. Andrew Perry, 3-1 Pompey. If Pittman is fit, we'll play 4-4-2. Well, Pittman is back in training, but we don't believe he's going to be ready for tomorrow's game, I'm afraid, Andrew. And Ryan Lewis is going for a 3-0 Southend win. Confident going into the game, Ryan?
Yes, I am.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's one
especially
of those
especially after Saturday?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Definitely. I can't see anything other than a win tomorrow night, to be honest. The way the South End are playing, the way we're playing, it's just all about taking our chances.
Joe Teal on Twitter says, Harrison or Marquis tomorrow, sign up that Ryan Honey. There you go, Ryan's starting up front. Paul on Twitter says, if we needed any motivation to win tomorrow, remembering that Sol Campbell tried to sue Pompey for £2 million, as Robbie's just mentioned, it should be enough. And Paul as well, on Twitter as well, did I read correctly that Brett Pittman could return tomorrow? Paul, he could. We've seen stranger things, but we know he's back in training, and perhaps he maybe another week until we see him back properly in action for the Blues. Okay, we're just approaching the final minutes of the show now, gents, and I'm going to ask you both for a score prediction for Pompey's home game against Southend United tomorrow evening. We're going to start off with you, Sam Stone. What are you going for?
I'm going about score predictions. I feel it could either go one way or another. I feel it's either going to be a comfortable kind of 4-0 win, or it's going to be one of those tight kind of 1-0. I'd like to go with the first one, 4-0.
4-0? Ryan?
I'll go 4-0 as well, actually.
4-0 as well? Yeah. Well, I got mine correct on Friday. I said 1-0, as much as I'd wish I was wrong now. So, I'm going to go for a 3-1 Pompey win for this one. I'll try and get my score prediction correct again. There we are, then. That's all we've got time for this evening, I'm afraid. I'd like to thank my two guests, Sam Stone and Ryan Honey, for joining me in the studio for another Pompey Football Hour. And thank you, of course, to you all back home for listening and interacting throughout the last 60 minutes. I tried my very best to get as many of your thoughts across as I possibly could. And thanks, as always, to our sponsor, Stagecoach Buses, for supporting another season of the show. Okay, coming up for you this evening on Express, Robbie James is back after the news at 7 with a local music show where he'll be showcasing the best of our talented local artists. From 8 o'clock, Jeff and Adrian are back in tandem for 2 hours of soft rock. They'll be joined by Andy Scott and local lad Will Purdue until 10 p.m, where we have non-stop Express, nothing but great music all night long. Mason Jordan is off taking an extended rest following last week's brilliant 48-hour radio marathon, so Darren Gamblin will be here from 7 a.m. tomorrow morning for the Portsmouth Breakfast Show. He'll have the latest on the roads and, of course, the Express Rewind from 9. Dan Lodge will be back from midday tomorrow before Robbie returns with Afternoons with Aquacars between 3 and 6 p.m. John Brown's here between 6 and 7 for another edition of the Composer Series before I return with Liam Howes and the legend Alan Knight. So join us tomorrow night for your next Pompey Fix. The Blues host Southend United at Fratton Park. Can they win? Find out right here on Express FM and iFollow Pompey from 7. Until then, have a great evening, enjoy your Tuesday, and play our Pompey.